If you have your Bible, I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have Bible with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 17. We have just read the whole chapter, and then this portion, the portion that we are going to look at, is the last portion, the last pericope of this chapter, from verses 24 to the end of the chapter. We have read in verse 24, it says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, and that they received tribute money." So when they came to Capernaum, they were in Galilee, and this was the place where Jesus has used Capernaum, a city in the northern part of the Lake of Galilee, to be the headquarters of his mission work. You'll find that Jesus Christ would travel in other parts of Galilee and even other parts of Israel, and will often return to this city. And that's where he will always have time with his disciples, and then after that he will venture out away, go abroad to another place and do this work. And so Capernaum has been the headquarters of the Lord Jesus Christ for his mission work. Now this time the disciples were there and in the town. And then it seems that the Lord Jesus Christ proceeded to a house separated from Peter especially and the other disciples. And you'll find in Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter. They that received tribute money. Tribute money means taxes. The word tribute there means taxes. They that received taxes. This tax is not the government tax, where the government of the Roman government tax for the coffers of the Roman government. But this tax, the Roman government has approved or allowed this tax for the Jews to tax the Jewish people to support the temple. In time past, when the tabernacle was erected and built, the Lord has imposed each man above the age of 20 must contribute half a shekel. Above the age of 20, half a shekel for the maintenance of the temple, of the tabernacle. And so later on, now it is the temple. So it is God's tabernacle or God's temple, God the Father's temple. And so this tribute money was given. And then you have these people who are those who receive this tribute money from the people. And they came to Peter, because Jesus Christ was not there. He was separated. He went to the house, but Peter was there. And these tax collectors, and they approached Peter. And they asked Peter a question, a very simple question, but a tricky question. And they asked Peter, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" They asked in a negative way. "Does not your master pay tribute? Does not your master pay the temple tax?" In other words, Jesus Christ has often said to them that he's the Messiah. A Messiah, it seems that Jesus Christ, there's no need for Jesus Christ to pay tax. You see, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the temple is the Father's temple. So he's the Son. Why should he pay tax? And so he asked the question, "Doth not," you see, "your master pay tribute?" Asked in a negative way. In other words, they're trying to trap Jesus Christ. If Peter answered yes, meaning that my master did pay the tax, Straight away, people answer yes. But the tax collectors say in such a way that if Peter said no, then Jesus Christ, their master, that's Jesus Christ, they can charge Jesus Christ for not paying the temple tax. Of course, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And so they can charge Jesus for not paying the temple tax. Doth not, you see, it's very tricky. And these people, these temple authorities who got this man, all they're trying to find fault with the Jesus all the time. Yes. And so ask Peter, and Peter answers straight away, yes, my master did pay, because that shut them up. And then when the Lord Jesus, when Peter entered the house, and where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and so the Lord Jesus Christ quickly, first, the first one to speak to Peter, and said to him, what do you think? I mean, referring, when the Jesus Christ say, what thinkest thou? In verse 25, you can say, what thinkest thou? He means referring to the conversation which you earlier had. And then Jesus Christ continued and said, whom do you think? Whom do the kings, or whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute or take taxes? Of their own children or strangers? And Peter answered, of strangers. In other words, of their own children, they will not collect tax. You see? And the kings will not, therefore, collect tax from their own sons. Eh? Because you collect tax from your own son, in fact, it's your own money. Your sons all depend on the king, on you. And then you collect tax from them. So definitely they don't. And of course, they write the Lord. So Peter said, of strangers. That means for those who are outside of the family. Those who are outside of the family, the kings will collect tax. Then after that, Jesus Christ straight away answered, okay, then the children are free, and therefore the children are free. In other words, Jesus Christ implying very strongly that Jesus Christ is free, has this freedom, free from the tax, being the Son of God, God who is the only, who is the owner of the family, of the tabernacle. God owns the tabernacle. It's God's temple, tabernacle. And Jesus Christ, being the Son, do not have to pay that kind of tax. So the children are free because he's the Son of God. And God, his Father, is the Heavenly Father. Then lastly, after that, immediately after that, notwithstanding, and Jesus Christ, lest we should offend the tax collectors, lest we should offend the tax collector. Alright, or make them angry. Go thou to the sea. Instructed Peter to go to the sea. Well, the Lake of Galilee is just nearby. Go to the sea and cast and hook, in other words, you use a line and hook. Just to cast. Throw a line and hook. Peter is not used to that. What is Peter used to? Peter used net always. Always use a net. Catch many fish. But here, Jesus Christ said, you cast a fishing line. And then the first fish you take up, and the first fish you catch, you open its mouth, and then you will find the tax money, the tribute money, the tax money. And you take that money and you pay the tax for me and for you. In other words, there was enough money in the fish mouth which he can retrieve to pay tax for Jesus Christ and himself. And this is the narrative of that incident. So from this narrative, we can learn at least three important things in this narrative. There are three important things. Now let's look at these three important things more closely. What are the three things? The first one is that Jesus Christ knew exactly what happened, or the conversation which the tax men have with Peter. Jesus wasn't present. They were separated. Peter was outside. Jesus was inside. And when Peter went into the house, Jesus Christ first, the first one to speak to Peter. "What thinkest thou? What do you think?" So Jesus Christ was referring, because Peter was having answered. Peter still, I think, was thinking about his answer. And then Jesus Christ, "What do you think?" And then, Jesus Christ create what the situation means, you see. So do the kings collect tax from their children or from strangers? So ask Peter. So the first thing that we learn is this part, where the Lord Jesus Christ knew every conversation, what takes place outside the house when he was not present there. So it's one thing that we learn here about the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing in this narrative, we find that he performed an astounding miracle. Yes, he asked Peter to go and throw not a net so he can catch many fish, but a hook and line. And the first fish that he caught to open his mouth, probably the fish, yes, he opened the mouth, and then in the mouth you can see those coins, shekels, which he can use it to pay for himself, for Jesus Christ and himself, which is adding one shekel. There are two half shekels, so each for Jesus and him. All right, and so this was a miracle. All right, you throw a line, you catch a fish, you open the fish, the first fish, you know, the first, you open it, and then you have coins there, and then you can pay the tax. Now, this is an amazing miracle. And then this, you find it. And then the third thing, there's five words in verse 27, "Lest we should offend them." Lest we should offend the tax man or the tax collector. Lest we should offend them. So what does it all mean here? What can we learn? All right, let's look at these three points. Come to the first point. We find that Jesus Christ, while he was not present with Peter, he knew everything. He knew everything. He knew what was the conversation, who was it that asked him about the tax. He knew everything. So when Peter first went in, when Peter went into the house, the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ asked was about this matter. "What thinkest thou about what he had just replied and what's about the tax man?" So here the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we know about the Lord Jesus Christ? That he knew everything. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ, his attributes, right? They are the attributes of God. He's omniscient. That means he knows what is happening. Although he's not there, he knows. He's omnipresent. Well, he's not there, but yet he knows everything. So his omnipresence. Though he's not there, but he is present there. Unseen, but yet present. And then we also see his omnipotence, because he asked Peter to go to the sea and get a fish, and the first fish that he got, and then to open the mouth, and there you will find those shekels. So the first thing that we learn from here is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is omniscient, that he knows, he's present everywhere. So these three attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ: omniscient, omnipresence, present, and omnipotent. And it's always with us, in very indeed. So what we learn here is that Jesus Christ knows all about our conversations, all the instances in our life, whether we talk to friends or enemies or parents or everything, that what we do, our speech, our actions, and our thoughts are all known to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is not with us. He is in heaven. He's separated. Yet, he knows every word that we speak, every action that happened in our life. Your action, my action, my speech, your speech, what we say, what we don't say, all he knew. How do you handle this? How do you tackle this? This truth. It's scary, isn't it? Are you not scared? That means you. Yes, you. You think of yourself. Don't think of others that you are together. No, think of yourself now personally. That what you do. You talk to a friend, or you talk to someone. What you say, what you don't say also. Oh, you don't say, but you are thinking. Jesus Christ knows all. In other words, we cannot, when we say, we must say truthfully, correctly. We cannot, we should not lie. If you lie, God knows. Although you can see, you don't see the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't see God, but he knows. So he knows every. So it's very scary in that sense. In my life, he may be close to people, even to sometimes my wife also. He's so close to me, yet sometimes there are things in my heart and in my mind I don't share with her. Yeah. But everything is open. I can't hide it from God, even though I don't say it. That is our God. And so it is very scary. And so whenever we say, we have to be careful that we say the right thing. We cannot lie. We cannot pretend. We cannot be a hypocrite. No, God knows everything. And so also with the other person. In the case of our Peter here, the taxman, he asked this type of question. Was it a simple question? Just truthfully, just to find out what is the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ knows the motive of this taxman who asked this type of question. It's a trick question. And we have Peter quite straight away answer. Of course, my Peter, having known the Lord Jesus Christ, who has always been truthful, always been above board, he answered straight away, yes. And that's a good answer. So when he joined the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ spoke to him first. And then to explain to him and show him, you answer yes, good. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave the explanation to him that he, being the Son of God, the Messiah, do not have to pay that temple tax to his own father. See? And then, so Jesus Christ put in such a way that the kings also do not collect from their sons. They don't. Because the sons of the king, if the king imposed a tax, and the tax imposed on the son, the money of the sons get is from the king. So it is nonsense. What for? I don't have to tax my son, you see. I gave him money, and why tax again? No need. So the Lord Jesus Christ put it in such a way, and then to get Peter, you see, you answered the right answer. We don't have. So in marriage, the children are free from it. And so when Peter answered, yes, it's not lying. It was correct. And Jesus Christ gave the explanation to Peter that you have answered correctly. And so, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has these are his attributes, we therefore, in our relationship, in our dealings with one another, in the church or outside the church, we should not lie. We should always be above board. We should always be correct. We should always use our wisdom, what to say and what not to say. But don't lie. Don't pretend. Even if you are the person who are asking also, your motive also, God knows. So in this case, God knows the motive of the taxman. Now, there's one thing also very good that God knows, not because we can say that we cannot lie and all is very true. Very good. We should not be, because we as Christians, we will not do that. But one thing that is wonderful is that we have a God who is like that. A God who is wonderful, who knows everything. And then we don't have to be afraid. And when you do all things right in accordance with his word, God says, thou shalt not lie, so we don't lie. Don't bear before witnesses and all this. And so God, when we walk according to his ways, and he will always bless us. And when we are in trouble, he will always help us. You will find that Peter here, who answered give an answer, yes. And Peter doesn't know even the answer. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came in, the Lord Jesus Christ straight away and asked him and then told him the answer. Give him peace of mind. So Peter don't have to think over and over again. When the taxman asked him, why? I answer, yes. And then in his mind, did the Lord Jesus Christ pay or not? I do not know. And so the Lord Jesus Christ first quickly told him how that he does not have to pay. Show him. And so wonderful it is. And so we see here the wonderfulness of our God, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's always there with us, present there. And he is always there to help us. And therefore, we should always be honest with one another. Don't lie. Don't try to lie. Don't try to pretend. Be always honest. If we can, we say we can. If we cannot, we say, I'm sorry, I cannot. All right? All right, don't have to give some examples of this kind of thing. All right. If someone asks you, did you go to the prayer meeting on Tuesday? And then you say that, I couldn't, so I'm not free. Or because, I got plenty of work. Well, you say that, and the other person just hear, got plenty of work, so right, excuse. But know one thing. The Lord just says, another person who hears. In every conversation, there is a silent, invisible listener. And then that's Christ. And whether you're telling the truth or not, he knows. And if you are not telling the truth, and you cook up a kind of excuses to go, not telling the truth, it is very dangerous. It's serious. And the Lord hears. And when you don't tell the truth, you're a Christian, you don't walk according to his ways, you don't tell the truth, you're a Christian, then punishment will come. God will not bless you. And then sometimes in our life, where is it? I don't get this kind of blessing. Why God is so difficult with me? Then don't blame God. Let's inspect ourselves, whether we have done anything that is not right, contrary to his commandment. And so it's wonderful that we have the Lord Jesus Christ who knows all these things. It may be scary, but it really is a blessing because he knows everything. So that's one thing that we learn from this narrative, that our Lord Jesus Christ is there, always present there and helping us. And the next thing is that You ask Peter here, he went to go to the sea and to catch a fish, and the first fish that he caught there, to open the mouth, and then you'll find this shekel. This is a stupendous, amazing, astounding miracle. First of all, what does it mean? In other words, Peter, you take the hook and line, you throw up into the sea, and the first fish that you catch, and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ also will cause one fish to go and take the bite. And when he got the first fish in Mark's version, open the mouth, and then you will find the tribute money. That means the tax money. I think if it is half a shekel per person, then two half a shekels, all in the tax. Nothing more, nothing less. You see, you sign exactly enough to pay the tax. And Jesus Christ said, you pay the tax men, pay those tax men for me and for yourself. This is a miracle. If you tell this story, or you tell this narrative that this happened, and then what would someone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or even sometimes Christian, they might raise eyebrow a bit and then think twice, then they will say, maybe it's true. Well, if it is Jesus Christ, it will be true. Miracle. If you tell someone, if I tell my brothers and sisters who are not Christians, how can you believe such thing? I better send you to the hospital, go to see a doctor, whether your mind is correct, right or not. Or you are one screw loose, are you? No, this is a miracle. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God. He's the one who is the creator of this world. When God created the whole world and the universe and all that are therein, the Lord Jesus Christ was with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They were three of them. They were created. They created all these creatures. And they have the power over all these creatures. Therefore, in this case, the fish. And he will cause the fish, this particular fish, and God also will plant this two half shekels into the fish mouth, and to make sure that it will bite Peter's line, and Peter will pull it up and open the mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, open its mouth. Very close, see, verse 27. And when thou hast, that means catch the fish, thou hast opened its mouth, the fish mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that shekels, to pay for himself and for Jesus. Now, to many of us, we will think that this is... how can this be true? But for us, it must be true. There must not be a trace of unbelief in our heart and our mind. Because we are talking of whom? We are talking here of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave the commandment, the instruction to Peter. And Peter just obediently do it. Peter knew it well. And obediently do it. So there shouldn't be a trace of unbelief. In our dealings with Christ, when we talk of Christ Jesus, and we talk of things that happen, or that will happen, or we think will happen, or will not happen, if it involves the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Lord Jesus Christ says it, it will always be true. And this is our God. He is our Savior. How wonderful it is. So this is really an amazing thing. And so we talk of this thing. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of his second return. He's coming back again. Yeah, he's gone. He's gone up to heaven. He's taken up. And then he promised to come back. But that promise is how long? More than 2,000 years. About 2,000 years, a little more. And we are still waiting, isn't it? Yeah, we still say in our hearts are waiting. And Christ will come. And he has given us signs of his. Before his coming, there will be certain signs already. All recorded in the Bible. And we know that he's coming. Some of us have looked at these signs and say that it is. It does point, therefore, to his coming very soon. Indeed. One of these signs are, you know, you find that earthquakes in diverse places, and you see the violence in the world, and you see rumors of wars, all kinds of wars. Washington and China war. And then you go to the Middle East, Iran, even in Washington also, a war. North Korea and Washington war. And you see in many places, and you see all the love of people for one another, all wax cold really. And so these are signs. And the most important sign is the falling away of the church. And you find the church. At one time we thought the Bible Presbyterian Church is very intact, very faithful. And that is the last stronghold that Satan tried to destroy. And it managed to destroy. And how we are divided. Now, one side say, the Word of God has mistakes. God's Word has mistakes. Although it's little mistake, it's man's way of talking. And then we have another side, a smaller remnant side, say, no mistake. This is God's truthful. The VPP, verbal plenary preservation of his word. Every word in the Hebrew, in the original languages, are true, are correct. And so we see the signs of his coming. And then things are getting worse and worse. And which is just preparing the way for the Antichrist, when he will come and try to solve everything. And we'll see, and then people in this world will say, well, he's the genius. And very true. And then what the Lord Jesus Christ says about the end times, when you don't have to use money, everything, no need money. All transactions are without money. And this is happening also. And Singapore will be the first one to know, to start all these kind of things. Yes, it's a small country, and it's the best place to start all these new things. New things for us, we all like it, wonderful. But this is where it starts. And the Bible will tell you when you will put in your right hand. The chips will put in your right hand, on your forehead. And very true that people in the world, the scientists also, when you put all these chips, you don't put anywhere in your right arm or in your forehead. 2,000 years ago, or many years ago, when John the Baptist, John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation, he says all these things. 2,000 years ago. So advanced. Only today that we found out. And that's true. And so cashless society is the one way where the Antichrist can control the whole world. So things are moving. And we are seeing the signs. Now what do we think? We should be thinking of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will enlighten our hearts. They will make us happy. We can talk all about these things, but the most important thing, we are happy inside. And people say, why are you so happy in all these things? These things happening all in our world. You are happy. Yes, I'm happy because my Lord Jesus Christ will be coming soon. Are you ready for him or not? Have you got a passport or not when he comes? See, but we have. And we take great comfort. And here you see the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in this small little thing regarding tax, money, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, he performed this miracle. Nothing is too small. Too small for God to perform a miracle in order to save, to encourage. And in this case here, okay, is to encourage and strengthen Peter. And then the final thing, the last thing that the Lord Jesus Christ says. Now look at verse 27, the first part. Lest, five words, lest we should offend them. These five words, lest we should offend them. In other words, who are them? Well, who is them? Them, they are the taxmen. So in other words, you give this tax to them, we don't say, they demand for this tax, they think that I should pay, because they rejected, I'm the Messiah. All right? And because of that, never mind. I don't want to argue with them, because they rejected, I'm the Son of God. Lest we should offend them. So what does it mean here? Lest we should offend them. So in other words, pay the tax. I sacrifice my liberty. Jesus Christ is free from paying the tax. He's free from them. He has that freedom because he's the Messiah, the Son of God. Lest we should offend them. In other words, I sacrifice my liberty in this matter. Let's pay the tax to him, lest we offend him. But not only that, not only sacrifice, for what? The Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed this, lest you offend them, so that his witness, when the Lord Jesus Christ witnessed concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, all that he said, people will hear. There's no other things. Try the Lord Jesus Christ, try to make everything smooth, although that it is something that you deprive him of his freedom, it doesn't matter. He will sacrifice that wisdom in order to achieve his objective. In order that when he speaks about eternal life, about sins and all these type of things, they will hear. Don't offend them. So in other words, they will give a lending ear. And that is what he means. So what does it mean to us? That in our daily life, there are occasions, instances in life where we have dealings with people. We have the right of way. Say you're standing up there and lining up for food, let's say, and suddenly one person who is unscrupulous will come and then come in front of you. Like the other day, we went to Malaysia, and then at the custom there, we have to immigration there. And then we were lining up, and then this group of Chinese people, three or four of them, they just cut your way. Not one, at first one. Then after that, two, three, four, all join them. And so you have in front of you at first one, and one you think that it's okay, never mind, I won. But after that, three, four, five, all come before you. And the queue is quite long. What do you do? Europeans, I understand. If European people, these Australians especially, the Australians will take. Stand behind. Stand behind. Would you do that? So I have the right to stand there. So you can sacrifice that right. Because if you go and tap in and tell you stand behind and argue him, and then you have an argument, you just give way, never mind. He knows that you already, he potong jalan you already. He cut your line already. He knows that. And so, and then when you, later on, when they found out that you are a Christian or you say you are a Christian, then he say it's okay. You are again. You're going to quarrel with him. What kind of Christian are you? Then he will tell you, Christian, you're supposed to turn your left cheek to me, you know. And so our witness is spoiled. So because of that, we can sacrifice that for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very good. This is what one thing we learn. Lest we offend them. So there are many things in our daily life. It is our right. Our right of way. Our right of being there. Or do things what is right. But sometimes we can sacrifice that right. Like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't offend people. In order what? That our witness and testimony of Christ can be effective. And that's what it means. And so you can find out many instances in your life and my life. There are instances like this where we can work, and then we can. Don't always have to fight for your rights. It's good when things matters which regarding to the doctrines of the Bible, important fundamental doctrines of the Bible. Yeah, we can fight for the right. When they say Jesus Christ is not God, then I fight. I'll offend the fellow. I'll fight. But in these matters, that's insignificant in that sense. We can always sacrifice our freedom for the other person. And even among ourselves, we should do that. More so, in fact, we are fellow Christians. Let's always do that. So you find that this narrative is so good. If we read carefully and think through all the incidents here, how wonderful our Lord Jesus Christ is. May He encourage us, comfort us, and strengthen us. Let us pray.